Welcome to ClickFunnels Radio, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to ClickFunnels Radio. This is going to be a lot of fun for you guys. You have the opportunity of getting to know a gentleman at the same time I do, Mr. Garrett Marigut. Garrett, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dave. Glad to be here. Excited to chat with your audience. And yeah, just thankful to be here. So thanks for having me.
So first of all, Garrett is the CEO of a company called Directive, and he's like the most patient guy in the world. I literally have had to start and stop this podcast three different times. We're in the middle of going to Funnel Hacking, Funnel Hacking Live, and I literally have been in different rooms trying to make sure we've got so many things being recorded. With that being said, though, I want to make sure you guys understand that Garrett's story and his content is something you're going to want to listen to and really pay a lot of attention to. Garrett has kind of taken that whole journey from being on Fiverr 5 years ago, trying to find gigs and everything else, to working now with companies like Cisco on things such as SEO and PPC. But most importantly, we're going to talk a lot about not only the content that he has, but also some of the product and services. I think you guys, as you're listening to this, are going to find massively valuable. So Garrett, tell people a little bit about kind of your journey, how you got here, and then we're going to dive into Pulse in just a second.
Yeah, no, so started a search marketing agency, kind of fell into it. I was at college, just working like five odd jobs. I was at the Chamber of Commerce interning. I was like doing janitorial stuff. I was doing really just anything I could do to pay the bills. And I got on Fiverr, figured out kind of how Fiverr's algorithm worked and figured out how to get on the homepage. And I was getting all these gigs. And I was like making little bets with my buddies. Like, hey man, I bet I can make $1,000 a month doing like work for like 30 minutes a day. And like just having fun trying to figure it all out. And then I kind of fell into this thing SEO and I didn't know what I was doing. I started like listening to Pat Flynn and then there's like these crazy tools. There's like, I was like Link Rocket or like crap that doesn't work. That I just like went up, like just tried to read everything though. So I took 2 weeks. I read every blog post I think that had been written for like the last 5 years on SEO. And then I like told somebody, hey, I've never done it before, but I'm going to work my butt off for you. I think I can figure it out. And it was a hookah shop. Well, first was a Mediterranean place. And I was doing like flyers and stuff. And I was the first Directive client. 30th day, whole place was boarded up, closed, came back. He was gone, never got paid. That was the first client. Then we did the hookah spot, like $200, got him to rank number one for hookah. And then fast forward 5 years later, you know, my best friend came on as my partner, just try to do things the right way. You know, read every day, learn every day. Came up with a little motto called learn, engage, create. So if I could learn something new every day, engage with it, I can create more value. And then just have the mentality that nothing will stop me and I'll just keep going. So, you know, $20 to now 50 plus employees working with mid-market enterprise brands. You know, we were a lot larger and now we're a little more focused on being, I guess, boutique, but not really, just mid-market enterprise brands, you know, globally. So, yeah, we're doing a lot of that and then we're launching products too on the side.
Garrett, I think the part that's really exciting for me when I hear stories like that is so often people think they have to kind of take a little piece of time, a little step here, a little step there. You guys literally skyrocketed this business. What was the luck?
Well, I always like, I think we had the approach that like Directive was always our biggest client. I know that sounds maybe silly or normal, but like we ranked number one for SEO agency for 5 years by just doing like, I called it eating our own caviar. Like if I'm going to sell someone something, I want to be better at it than everyone else. It's really like, I don't know how you can be in professional services. Like you guys do a great job of ClickFunnels to this, right? Like you sell ClickFunnels and your whole homepage is a ClickFunnel. And you're talking about, hey, how can I customize this ClickFunnel to you, right? You're embracing your product in a way that makes sense for your growth engine. I like to do the same with my search. Like we spend more on our PPC than anyone else historically, and we, you know, we rank better than anyone else organically historically. You know, lately, no,
I think that's really, I just want to real quick. So I want to, those people, as you guys are listening to this, I think it's one of the things that gets overlooked. And that is when you're out there, especially if you're in the service business, you better be the best at what it is you're recommending. And so if you're in SEO, you should rank at the top. If you're on Facebook, people should see your Facebook ads. If you're, again, Garrett, to your comment, we eat our own dog food. We eat our own caviar. I actually like that saying much better. It's a much more professional.
I used to say the dog food. I heard the caviar once. I was like, hey, I like that too. I was like, that's a better. I'm like, I don't want to be dog food.
That's the difference. So you're dealing with mid-level enterprise clients. We're dealing with our typical mom-pop.
Yep. No, it's funny. We have so it's... audiences. But we do have some products here that I think do resonate with your audience, you know, and can really help them a lot.
Well, that's what I want to kind of talk about, because the Pulse thing you and I were talking about before we kind of got things recorded here was something I found really fascinating. So what exactly is Pulse? How does it work? And why would someone want to use it?
Okay, so everything we try to do with our products is based towards our audience, which is an in-house marketer. And I think it's important, you know, when you develop products that they're aligned with your audience, not with your, like a lot of people, for example, in search, try to impress Twitter search, not their customers, if that makes sense. And so one of the things I had to learn and still have to focus on is, you know, my friends in the industry aren't my audience, my customers, right? And one of the products is Pulse. And what Pulse tries to do is help a real problem we find for marketers, especially in the search space, is maybe the CMO is an older woman or an older gentleman, and they've never done SEO before. They've never done PPC, and they're ambitious. And they're not ambitious because they're ambitious innately, maybe. They're ambitious because their CEO is traditionally ambitious. And she says to her, hey, we need to get to X amount of traffic in 6 months. Here's $5,000 a month. And the problem is maybe $5,000 ain't enough to get to X amount of traffic. But she's got nothing that she can do to benchmark what the expectations can be because they have no historical data or spend. It's just like in ClickFunnels, someone comes to you and says, hey, how long is this going to take to work perfectly? And you're like, perfectly or work, right? Because there's a difference in growth that you go through to learning something, getting good at something, and then truly becoming profitable from something. And search is no different. And so what Pulse does is it takes every major industry we could find online, so over 800 industries, like, so within, let's say, ERP, there's like billing software ERP, there's accounts receivable ERP, there's accounts payable software. So there's all the different micro industries. And what it does is it enriches that with every known SEO or PPC API, every data source. So in other words, if you are in the ERP space, we can tell you exactly how much every person is spending relative to each other, not absolute to their real data. What I mean by that is relative to the data set.
Sure.
So according to the data that we can get through third parties, and it's all from one data set. So if one person's spending more, they're relatively spending more than the other, and that part's fairly accurate. And so how much they're spending, how many keywords they rank for, the value of those keywords, what their domain rating is. There's about 13 different metrics that we're able to measure and give you, and we update every month. So instead, let's say the boss comes to you and says, hey, I want to spend $5,000 a month on PPC and I want to beat Cisco. And you're like, okay, Cisco's spending $1.2 million. I don't know if that's realistic. And when they get to be a third party unbiased data set that says, here's the reality, let's adjust our expectations, because I find that mistaken expectations are the death of great marketing, because they crush the future potential of whatever you are doing and creates essentially a fake time scale that's not based on reality for when you're supposed to see success. Because like for me, it took me 2.5 years to rank number one for SEO agency. It didn't take me 6 months. It didn't take me 7 months. It took me 2.5 years. So a lot of people, they want to see success in search, but the industry and their bosses and their realities create too short of a timeline for them to really recognize its potential, if that makes sense. And that's the same problem, in my opinion. Sure, ClickFunnels, no matter how fast it can work for some, it always takes longer than you might think sometimes. And that's not a bad thing. That's just a reality. And we got to, you know, stick it out and stay consistent. And so Pulse kind of helps people with that. And it's a really cool data set that really doesn't exist anywhere else. And it's totally free if you want to try it out.
So where would they get that at?
Yeah, that's at directiveconsulting.com/Pulse. It's a cool product. And if you want to check it out, it's great. We also have another product called Institute that'll teach you everything that we know how to do, the templates, the everything we do here, like literally line by line, process by process. We do give it away.
So what's Institute? So because I don't, search is one of those things. A lot of people who are listening to this are going to say, you know, I'd rather just do paid ads because I can track ROI. We come from kind of the old school direct response marketing thing, where I really want to figure out exactly, if I put in $2 in this, how much am I going to get out, or what's my average cart value, all those types of things. What are some of the things you're finding from a search standpoint that are important for a person to learn?
Yeah, so I think one of the first things is that your brand is more important than your website. This is one of the most important things, and this is coming from an SEO guy. Okay, so what's important to understand here is that your brand is intrinsically could be discovered by your buyer. And there's been a mega shift in how search engines work that most of us as marketers aren't aware of. So let me unpack that a little bit. When you search, let's say, we'll keep the ERP example just for consistency here.
So let's say you're people listen, what's ERP so they understand what
it's ERP enterprise is. Resource planning. So it's just a type of software. So let's just say you're even in like landing page software, okay? So if you search landing page software, you're gonna get informational intent queries with a mix of individual websites and third-party review sites like Capterra and Software Advice, okay? But then if you're a search marketer, what you're always trying to understand is intent. So what keywords are indicative of purchase intent so I can position my brand at the bottom of the funnel so I can capture that demand, right? And so what people do is they want to advertise or rank for top landing page software, best landing page software, or landing page software reviews. See, these are your most expensive clicks in Google Ads, and they're also the most timing-enriched, ready-to-buy people. Now, what's important to understand, though, is that your individual website no longer ranks for that, and that's what blows people's minds. So like for top ERP software, it doesn't matter that you have these major players in the space with billions of dollars of revenue. They can't rank for their own website because Google is saying what I call the Yelp and the Amazon effect. See, the Yelp and the Amazon effect says buyers want unbiased, quote unquote, because it's not, but that's what people think. They want essentially a third-party opinion on who to purchase. In other words, if people are looking on Yelp before they buy a $5 breakfast burrito, they're sure as hell going to look at a review site before they buy a $250,000 software. And unfortunately, most demand gen and marketing managers or directors or CMOs or VPs are still so worried about what they can track intrinsically in their HubSpot, their Marketo, or their Pardot and their website that they're not understanding how their brand is being discovered by their consumer. And they're missing out on their best, most profitable opportunities. And that's what I love to educate people on and help them is to rethink how they're even approaching search so they can unlock its potential.
So let's talk more about Institute. What exactly do they find in Institute?
Yeah, so Institute is simply a product, $39 a month, that literally educates you on everything we do. So if you want to learn SEO like we do it at Directive, like how we do it for, like we did the global SEO for Cisco, or how we do the SEO for every Allstate agent in the country. Like we actually walk you through exactly how we do it, the templates we use, the software tools we use, the approach we use. It's all videos. It's all there. It's only $39 a month. And if you're a client of ours, you get it for free. And so, yeah, it's a really cool training course. And it really is like, it's pretty elite. And if you want to see how to market an LMS, I think the team who ran the project did a phenomenal job. It's a really cool rollout, front-end website and everything they did. It's great. And that's directiveconsulting.com/institute.
So tell people a little more from an SEO standpoint. I love the idea here that Yelp and Amazon is killing your SEO search. I think it's something that a lot of people are struggling with is feeling like they can't compete against the big boys. And yet at the same time, I understand you work primarily on the mid-level side, but even some of the smaller people actually can, especially in their local markets, really dominate on the search aspect. What are some of the things they should be aware of or tools and tricks they should be applying?
Well, what I love about this is like it's all a mentality approach. So let's say you're a small business owner, right? You're a coffee shop, Joe's Coffee, and you're opening up. You don't have a great marketing budget, right? So one of my first clients was actually a marketing company, was a coffee shop, and we crushed it for him. And I'll kind of walk you through how we did it, and the principles still apply today. One of the things we did really well was we made sure that they showed up on all the review sites. Okay, this is the best part. See, it used to be like all the marketing you had to do to show up yourself. See, now you can simply barnacle onto these existing networks. And it's okay that your website doesn't rank. In fact, it might be better because now you don't have to take the resources, time, and energy and commitment to do all that. You can just focus on your brand there. And then when it comes to showing up, you can show up on Google My Business in the map. You can show up on Yelp. And then ideally, sure, you can show up to your website. You know what no coffee shop's doing? No coffee shop's running ads for people within 5-mile radius on their mobile device. And the cost per click will actually equal less than your LTV, and you can still do a 3-to-1 ratio and be profitable. And so you can start to be really creative with how you're going about it, right? And then people are in your shop. How can you maybe build a social media installation in your shop so influencers want to come and take photos? And then how do you just simply manage all your mentions, retweet people, interact with them? And now you're a brand, right? And it's like four little steps that had almost no cost. I'm talking $250 a month. You're the number one coffee shop in your area. That's how marketing is so easy today if you just take a simple approach to it you can really understand it instead of try to manipulate it.
All right. So for those people who are listening to this one pretty quick, tell them what are those four steps again?
Okay. So step one, be on review sites. So Google My Business and Yelp if you're a local business owner. Step two, understand who your target market really is based on location and device. And then just market to them really, really well. And the same goes for social. So shrink your ideal customer persona, see success, and you can slowly grow it. What I mean by that is like, say, look, we do really well with moms between 30 and 45 with a child who make X amount of money within 5 miles of us. Perfect. There's your Facebook campaign. For search ads, you're like, okay, well, what device do moms in that age group use? Okay, we're going to target women this age on iPhones within 5 mile radius of my coffee shop. Cool. Now you have all that in place. And then the last thing is maybe a social media installation. Make your site, your actual store, a place that's worthy of sharing. And then simply engage with the shares that you naturally get from the people already buying a cup of coffee. And next thing you know, you're the best shop in town.
I love it. I think we're seeing a lot of people coming into ClickFunnels these days who actually are your mom and pop local shops. And yeah. We're trying to, so we have a lot of e-commerce. Next e-commerce, probably the next fastest growing segment is a lot of the ones you just made mention of. It's the mom and pop shops who are going, you know what? I know I've got to be able to compete, but how? So I love those focal, basically the four local search secrets to get ranked online. That's super cool. So Garrett, tell me, as you take a look at a lot of the people who are listening to this podcast are going to be in your same situation where they're trying to go from where they were or where they are right now to where they want to be, or you've got people who are running agencies, something you've obviously have experience doing. What are some of the things you found that as you went from basically kind of understanding your hookah shop and your coffee shops up to Cisco, it's a big change in mental mind shift as a business owner. What were some of the main things that made you decide I want to go upstream that fast?
Yeah. A couple were just my values, I think. And I never changed. Like I always wanted to do Cisco. So when I was doing the hookah shop, I treated it like it was Cisco. So everything I ever did was to be where I wanted to be. It was never based on where I was, which pissed a lot of people off when they were first employees, right? Because they didn't understand they're young. You know, we had a lot of young people, especially when we first started. Why do I have to wear a jacket on every call? Why do I have to show up early? Why do I have to do a weekly update? It's because everything we did was built for the client we wanted, not the client we had. And so when we got them, we were ready for them. Okay. That was one of the important parts. The other part was really trying to make every client a case study. So essentially every customer you ever have, how could you leverage that to go upstream? One of the things you have to decide about agencies, and this is the most transparent thing you're ever going to hear about a service business, and you have to decide on this. And if you can decide now, you're going to see a lot more success. Okay, there's two ways to grow a service business, and that's it. Two ways to grow services. One of them is you charge more, and you essentially have you're a quality vendor. Okay. The other option is that you do a great service for your price. I want to be clear here. You cannot do the best service possible. You have to do a best service for your price. There is a true difference, and you have to be completely transparent about it and okay with that emotionally, mentally, and everything else. Because, for example, like Directive went through a period, you know, a year ago where we had to say no to millions of dollars because I personally, as the leader of the organization, didn't feel okay with the level of quality we could perform at a certain price point. And so we literally doubled our rates and completely alienated everyone we had. Because I learned that there's an inverse relationship between scaling through volume of accounts and quality. In other words, you cannot grow the volume of accounts at a business, no matter how good you are operationally or how organized you are, without seeing a dip of quality. It is literally not humanly possible. And so you have to be okay with that. Now, if you're okay with that, that is totally fine. And that is your prerogative because there is a need for smaller businesses that need services. But the truth is you cannot be the best search agency. You can be the best search agency at your price point. And you just have to be okay with that. But there is only one way. You either grow through the volume of accounts or you grow through the volume of your pricing. In other words, you can charge more or you can get a lot. But the middle doesn't work. There's only really two ways to grow. And it's kind of like gyms, right? You have Equinox and you have 24. There's nobody in the middle. It doesn't exist. Yeah. And the middle is a death land for your margin, for the talent you can hire, and the success of the organization. So you got to decide. We went up, you know, but you can't go up and get volume because it doesn't represent the ethos of what up means. Does that make sense? You can't be McKinsey and have a million customers.
Yep.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, I've always said the middle businesses always die.
On accident a lot faster than you might realize as a business owner. And I think it's really important to decide very early if you want to be the bottom or the top. And there's no disrespect. There's no anything to be either, but you got to decide. Cause if you end up in the middle, it gets ugly because you don't have a definition of who you are. You miscommunicate with your customer. You start getting bad reviews because you're charging too much for what you're worth, or you're not charging, or you're charging too much to get scale and you can't grow revenue. Like, you just get stuck. And so you got to really decide.
I totally love that idea. As you take a look at kind of directive and where you guys are going, what are some of the next major things as you're transitioning upstream?
Yeah, so one of the things is just differentiating. So most service businesses have to say, when someone asks, hey, why should we choose you? They have to say, we got a lot of experience in your space. We give you a lot of time. We got great case studies. You're going to love the team. Here's our high touch model. Here's what our reporting's like. And then everyone's competing, just like a software company that competes on features. Everyone's competing on the same deliverable. For us, it was about what makes you different. Well, we're going to educate your entire marketing team free of charge so you could replace us. We're so damn good you won't, number one. Number two, we're going to use proprietary technology to benchmark everything you do. So when you go to the board of directors, you can set realistic expectations. And number three, yeah, we are really damn good at what we do, but that's not the only reason you're going to choose us. And so the point for us is, how can we differentiate ourselves so there's more than one reason why, and we can say things that no one else does? Because what I learned about pricing is people only pay marginally more for better, but they will pay a lot more for different. And you can be
really successful. Okay, you have to repeat that because that's like one of my core beliefs. And I think too often people forget that. And I had multiple conversations today with a couple other executives, and we were talking about this whole thing from a pricing standpoint. So I want to hear you say that one more time.
Yeah. So people will only pay marginally more for better. They will pay a lot more for different. And you got to and it's not easy. It's taken us 6 years to try to even understand what different looks like for professional services. And we're not there yet. But the whole point is to make ourselves different and to change the conversation. So when you talk with us, you're having a different conversation than if you're talking to anybody else in the agency space.
Oh, I love it. So for those guys who are listening, this is Russell talks a ton about this as far as a new opportunity and making sure that as you're opening up and really creating your new blue ocean, it can be in an existing space and it's now a sub niche, kind of like what you're basically going after right now, Garrett. Too often you have to understand as you're building your business, stop trying to just be a little bit bigger or better. You have to be different. And you've got just been dropping value bombs left and right for me, but that's one of the ones I want to make sure people drive home for sure.
Well, thanks, Dave.
Well, Garrett, as we get kind of close to wrapping things up here, what are some of the things, any parting words to our audience here?
Yeah, I guess one of the things that was really helpful for us at Directive was we developed principles. If you like to read, there's a book called by Ray Dalio called Principles. Really good book. It's got an app and everything. But one of the things I found is I kind of made our mission and vision our values, because that's what you do as an MBA student, right? And you just kind of, that's what you're supposed to do as an executive. Your team doesn't really give a crap. It's not that you don't need a vision cast them, right? But it's really hard for them to practically apply your mission, your vision, and your values in their day-to-day jobs. And so I think one of the coolest things I've ever done was I took a whole week doing what my team was doing and just lived their life. Because if you did it 6 years ago, I'm telling you, it's a lot different now of how your team interacts with each other. The culture is more the interactions of the team, not your interaction with them. And so by getting into the actual culture of your business, what you could do is while also reading this book is you can build principles. And so, you know, at Directive, we built principles, and those principles now guide our daily work, which then form our culture and really become the ethos of our organization in a real and meaningful way compared to the mission and vision, which is to be the biggest search agency in the world, which is great. And we're going to get there. But in the meantime, when I'm working for a client, you know, what principles can I abide by that can guide me in moments of decision? And, you know, hopefully, you know, that's something your audience can take is, you know, to develop principles that are practical to their team's daily environments and work.
I love it. Again, Ray Dalio's book, Principles, awesome book. Garrett, thank you so much. I look forward to connecting with you again real soon.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.